to share the gospel. You just have to share the gospel. You just have to share the gospel. The prompting you need is the Spirit of God and that commandment which has been given to us. Commandment which has been given to us. Say, I'm meant to preach the gospel. By the way, I was listening to the preaching on Sunday, and it seems as though the audience was a dead audience. The response wasn't there in that teaching. I mean, at all. Okay, so please respond to the teaching, to the instructions we're giving here. Is that fine? Alright. Now, the teaching now is what? Effective soul winning. This guy, get those kids to stop. Caution them. It's not good. Effective soul winning. Okay, so that means that soul winning can either be effective or ineffective. So last week I taught you that you should be able to preach to someone to the point where there is a commitment, a confession of Christ. Like I said, you telling somebody that Jesus loves you is not the gospel. Jesus love is, is part of the gospel, but that is not what we are saying to actually preach. It is a vehicle that conveys you to the thing you have to preach. They must get to the point where the person have to say, now, I believe in Jesus Christ. Am I communicating? So I want to be as practical as possible. See, you can't give what you don't have. It is a sad story because some believers just know that Jesus, God loves them. Therefore, if you believe Christ now, you've made heaven. But they don't know how to communicate that same thing to other people. You believe same. And if there's no conviction in your heart, you might not be able to convey this message. First of all, there's a narrative that crowds our mind. And I want to start by debunking those narratives. First of all, how many of you believe that God sends people to hell? God sends sinners to hell. How many of you believe that? Help me. You believe that God will send the sinners to hell? Be sincere. Wave it. Hey, I like it. See, if you don't know, or if you know, be bold about it. If you know that God will send sinners to hell, let me stand up. So what happened before? So sinners will go to heaven. If you know God will send sinners to hell, let me stand up. Simple. You stand up in faith. Don't worry, just stand in faith. Just stand in faith. Thank you. Right? I saw your hand up. Stand in faith. Stand. Things are important. Okay? All right. I've seen you. You can sit down. How many of you say you don't know? Raise your hand. You don't know. You are not aware. You are not sure. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you know that sinners will go to heaven? You have to pick one. Where are you? The practical teaching here. Where are you? First. You don't know. But I asked you, if you don't know, that means you go to hellfire. Okay. And that's fine. Okay. Now, in our mind, you can have your seat. In our mind, we actually feel that God will send people who don't believe in Him to hell. Abi? Okay, the thing I want to bring out there is that it is not God who sends anyone to hell. Sin does. So I want you to get to that point. Now, why I'm doing this now is for you. I want you to get to the point where you are so sure of these things that God does no evil. Your father wouldn't put you in a burning fire because you committed a sin. Would your father do so? I mean, your earthly father. He wouldn't. He can take away some privileges from you, but no human being that have love in his heart will carry your son and use and do barbecue. It makes no meaning. It makes no meaning. Okay? So, and that is why when people read the Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that's the last verse of Romans chapter 6. Give me your Bible there. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. I'm heading somewhere with this. Please be fast about it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Is it hanging? Okay. Romans 6, 23. What's going on?
Let me put another background there.
Okay, Javier, are you there now? What did the Bible say there? One, two, everybody. Read again. Again. For the wages of what? You see, if I didn't begin to show you what I'm showing you now, we read a thing but believe another thing. What most people see when they read this is that the wages of God, or the wages of when you offend God. Am I communicating? Are you guys getting what I'm saying at all? Subconsciously, what we understand when we read this is that the wages God pay you when you sin against Him is death. Am I right? Including me. Because I used to read it to mean that what it means is that the wages that God pays you when you sin is death. But the Bible clearly stated that the wages of what? Sin is what? The wages of what? Is what? Now this is where God comes in now. But the gift. So God does not pay anybody wages. God gives us what? A gift. You work for a wage, you just receive a gift. Yes, sir. So next time when you read the scripture, it says, for the wages of sin. So sin is a person. The wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Is what? I wish there was no eternal death. They will have some argument. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Say it again. Eternal life. What eternal means? A never ending life. The God kind of life. And so you understand, the God kind of life is the kind of life that He had before He created the world. James chapter 1 verse 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the question is, where was God when He created the heavens and the earth? God is in Himself. That is in eternity. So when a man believes in God, God gives you that His kind of life, which is what? Everlasting life. A life that never ends. Are you still here? Are you get what I'm saying now? Now, if you understand the scripture, that will help you to understand the entirety of the Bible. That it is not the wages of God or the wages of sin against God that is death. No. God will not give you death because you sinned it. Am I speaking sense at all? How many of you just understood scripture in this light now? You just got it now in this light. That means previously you just begin to think that it is God is the one who rewards us with what? Death. When we sin. No. Now that brings to the question, does God punish sin? What's the answer? What's the answer? Yes or no? If you say yes, let me see your hand up. Be bold, let me know how to help you. Okay, if you say yes, let me see your hand up. Does God punish sin? Does God punish sin? Let me see yes. Okay. Let me see no. Let me see no. Let me see I don't know. Can't just be in the middle now. But anyways, for the first one, how many of you understood the first one now? What's the first person I ask? Will God send sinners to hell? What's the answer? So what sent them to hell? Huh? Sin, right? Is that clear to you now? I didn't enforce it on you. You now know that, right? And you're sure about it. Oh, glory to God. So second one I ask now is what? Does God punish sin? Does God punish sin? Does God punish sin? What's your answer? Huh? No. The answer is no. Sin will punish you. Sin will punish you. For God to punish you, that means that God have ability to do such things. Yes. It is there. I mean, what I'm teaching now is actually a master class teaching. Not that easy. God doesn't punish him. There's no wrath in God. God is never angry. Any anger you see of God is men that manifested that anger. Oh, who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? That's why we say it's God now. Let's not get into that. God has no ability to destroy. It's like, yes, sir. He saves men. It's simple. You see, the Old Testament is the question, Jesus is the answer. So whatever, you want to ask a question, I'm coming to that. So whatever you don't see in Jesus, we refuse to believe that God did. Now ask your question, sir. Okay. Wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. You're right, sir. You're right. God is a consuming fire. He consumed our sins and gave us his righteousness. He consumes our guilt. He consumes sin. What is a consuming fire, right? He consumed death and gave us life. He consumed poverty and gave us righteousness. You okay with that? You see, it's just a normal thing that we want to just believe that God can do evil so that we can threaten our enemies with a God that can do evil. Do anyhow, you see anyhow kind of God. You see, what I'm trying to say now is those things that still hinder people from believing that salvation is eternal. You can't see a man who knows the nature of God and say, yeah, that salvation is not eternal. You can't say, now I could begin to teach about eternal salvation now, but some of you might not still get it. Let's debunk these unnecessary things that hides under that still make your heart to begin to shake. God lacks the ability to do any evil. Even if he wishes to do it, he cannot do it. I've talked to somebody. See, it is difficult because literature in the Bible are evidences against God. So what you just said now is because you saw it in the Bible, right? Have you ever seen God destroy anybody before? Now it's such a sad story that even those who destroy themselves say God destroyed them. God does no evil. Say, yes, sir. It's difficult to believe, but you have to believe that. God does no evil. Show me one evil that Jesus did. How many of you know Jesus Christ is God manifested here on earth? You know that, right? So, Jesus Christ was the express image of God. He was one who came to explain to us of who his Father is. So, when you try to describe God, Moses can't describe God enough for you. Abraham couldn't. Elijah couldn't. The person who can describe him is himself. Ask again. Okay. That same God that had it Pharaoh's heart is the same one now who now came and now died for Pharaoh. Does that make a sense to you? In fact, if we ever believe that God does evil, then there's no like salvation again. Am I communicating? If you ever believe that God was the one who had in the heart of Pharaoh, then God just created us to begin an experiment with us. Then it doesn't make any sense. Look up here. Do you want these kids? Go back to them, please. They don't sign to show it. Now look up. How many of you enjoying this already? Because I need to be asking for that. Today you can ask and I'll be saying, no problem. The question you're raising now is a normal question any believer should ask. Especially sincere ones. The whole thing that happened in Egypt, the plagues and all of that, wasn't narrated to us by God himself. Am I communicating? Now pay good attention. In the next 100 years to come, when the Biafrans will tell their story, right? We might not be here again. None of you might be here again. Let's say in the next 150 years to come, when the Biafrans will tell their story, they will call Nnamdi Kanu a Messiah. How many of you are aware now that they are attaching some Jewish link to Igbos? How many of you are aware of that? See, man has always been in a quest to find God. And they would easily attach anything that has to do mystic things to God. Am I communicating? Now look up here. If you will ever believe that God actually sent set out to kill the firstborns of every of the Egyptians, if you will believe that in your heart, pay attention. But you also notice that in any incident of destruction that ever happened in the Old Testament, there's always a God still who is there to provide a way out. You notice that? In any act of destruction that ever happened in the Old Testament, there's always... Now, the narrative will say that God set out to do it, right? But in the same story, we also see another God again who is there as a deliverer. Am I communicating? So, it's either God is bipolar, who decides to hear, set out to kill all the firstborn, and all of a sudden changes his mind to say, okay, if I see the blood, I will pass over. You're not animals now. Are we animals? We have reason. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he got to Sodom and Gomorrah, we had the angels, thank God they even mentioned angels there. They were about to destroy Sodom. We still had a God, still, who negotiated. Alright? And God lost out and all of them. In the time of flood too, we had a God who decided to destroy the earth with water. And the same God again, that made position of a sheep. Is making sense to you at all? Huh? So it is either that one person was not understanding what was going on. He discovered that in the Old Testament, hardly will you ever hear that the devil did anything. You never hear that the Satan did anything, even in the Old Testament. I see, I'm helping you. I get what I'm saying now. Hardly will you hear that Satan ever did anything bad. Because why? They mistook God and Satan to go more be the same. Oh, show me something that Satan did in the Old Testament. Help me out. Even Job said that God was the one who killed all his children. Later, give him new children. So God just updated him. His sons were out of date. He updated him. God just destroyed everything you've labored for and updated you. Because I get what I'm saying. Since I just are talking from on the realms of, they don't understand what I'm saying. Are you getting me at all? Aha. The beast shall live by faith. What is just confused looking at me? Don't worry. Have you shouted at Jesus and somebody, you killed somebody with the name of Jesus? Have you ever done that? You just watch that in African magic, have you? Let the person bring the person. See, all this thing you say, I heard, they said, can you move those, can you put those things up? I heard, they said, am I communicating? Is that a fables? A strong one. However, listen very carefully. Power is not born again. I just want to just make that to you understand. Anointing on itself is not what? Born again. I'm just trying to explain to you. That was why, like I do say, God is not angry. We only have angry men of God. Men of God who can take God's power and use it according to how God will not want to use it. For example, Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, now the people who carried your husband will also carry. The Bible says at the mention of that, she dropped and died. Is it God that killed her? Say no. Did God kill her? No. Who killed her? Huh? Peter. Now let's go deeper. Who killed her? Sin. Being amplified by someone who didn't walk in love. Because that same scenario even happened to Peter himself too. But nobody killed him. Peter denied Christ now. Nobody came. Jesus even said to him that the devil has planned to twist your heart, but I've prayed for you. So Peter, that kind of thing, you should just pray for them. Say, you're not doing well. You don't do well. That word of knowledge, I know you sold this land for such a lot of money. Don't do such things. But Peter didn't walk in love enough. So Peter's anger killed, not God. You're getting it. Just try to understand that there's no wrath in God. God is not angry. Now, this is because the whole dynamics came from what we thought God is. We have this narrative that God has created the world and stood in heaven and is watching us like this to see those who will get it right. That's the mental picture we've created in our hearts. Am I communicating? Then God now was not angry that we're not getting it. God now sent his son to come and die to appease him so that his heart will now soft. That is what everybody here have in the picture in the heart. That God sent his son to come and die so that his anger will cool down. Am I communicating? No. God sent his son, which is him. Oh, Jesus is God by existence. He needed to be a man to die for man. He came in form of what? Jesus. To fulfill his assignment. And when he came, he died for man to fulfill the demand of sin, because the wages of sin is death, not the wages of God is death. No, he said the wages of sin is death. So he came to die himself to fulfill that thing that sin demands. And that can only happen on the premise of love. So God was not bloodthirsty that he needed some blood. I need blood. He had to not angels come and die. No, that blood was not for him, but for atonement of sin, not atonement of his heart. Now, if I need to go further, now, some of you are going to ask some funny questions now. Why did he even create Satan at first? Putting on hematology one of these days. Study of sin. We're not going to study sin because we want to study sin, but it has a link into eternal salvation, so you understand it. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Do you get this so far till now? You sure? So God does no evil. You need to understand so that you can understand eternal salvation. You notice that people who don't believe in eternal salvation are mostly people who still operate in the Old Testament structure. They still pray for their enemies to fall and die. Alright? One of the reasons why you won't pay much attention to that is that because most of the time nobody falls and die. People say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Alright? But against what? Spice and power. One of the things that have helped me in my Christian work is the fact I know that it is not you. It is the devil. So when somebody does something bad to me, it is not you, it's the devil. He's trying to achieve something. So when I want to pray, I pray for you with love. And I deal with the devil. I don't pity the devil. But you spirit of dishonor. You spirit of confusion. There's a spirit of curse and that. Of confusion, I come against you now in the name of Jesus. But for this, but I pray for that or him that his heart gets restored in peace, he walk in honor, or in sanctity of the spirit. Because I never pray against any man because I know it is not you, it's the devil that inspires such things. Like I taught you before, the devil cannot possess a believer but can manipulate a believer, right? The way he did in the heart of Jesus Christ, begin to take Jesus Christ to some certain things. Whispers. So the moment you begin to buy this idea, the manipulation have come. That's what we call operations. You hear? I guess you know what I'm saying now. Say, neighbor, God lacked the ability to do evil. Now, in the New Testament, sorry, let me not just get to the verses. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ and his disciples were walking. They want to enter a city, then they wouldn't receive. The disciples said, Master, don't you wish that we call down fire like Elias did? Elias did is Elijah. How many of you remember that Elijah called down fire from heaven, right? Did God send down fire from heaven? You see, let's stop reading our thoughts into the scripture. It's as simple as that. Did God send fire from heaven? Who called down fire? So some of you are going to say, is that fire in heaven? Like, I don't know. I don't know. But the Bible says that Elijah called down fire from heaven. So at least, let's take it away from God. It wasn't God that did. See, there's something deep I said now, that in any situation that seems to indicate that God is evil, there's also a God again too there, who is a savior. Am I communicating? So it's just a case of me taking identity. Don't blame them. Don't blame them. They didn't see the Jesus they're seeing now. They didn't read the Bible we are reading now. So if they made those mistakes, you're not permitted to make those mistakes. Yeah. It might shock you that the writers of the scripture never even knew they were writing the Bible. Yes. Just dropping materials. The thing we call the epistles, we actually write actual letters to churches. Am I communicating? The epistle to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, we are actually a real letter. So, that's why most of them start with greetings. So upon the arrival of the church, of the commission came, the Great Commission, they have to have something we have to work, the reading. People, when Apostle Paul was writing the Bible, his own part that he wrote, he was not writing in chapter and verses. Am I communicating? So nobody writes a letter to my mom, verse 1. How is everybody at home? I hope you have eaten today. Verse 2. Have you paid the children's school fees? Verse 3. And some of you are going to ask, but how come it is not about school fees and all of those things like that? No, it was instructed to churches, to specific persons. Of course, there are some personal things that was there. When Paul wrote to Timothy and said, use a little bit of wine for your stomachache, that is not a definition for the church. That's a personal instruction. Alright? When he was talking to Timothy about the ordination of deacons, he was saying that the man must be a husband of one wife and all such things. He was talking to him to be able to what, communicate to the church. You getting these things? So the men of old, when I say men of old, I don't mean the Old Testament folks now. I mean from the ages of the Bible, from the ages of the new churches to the Old Testament, they never read the Bible. They didn't read the Bible. They read the scriptures. The scripture means the law and the prophets. And even the land the prophet was not given as a Bible to read. It was in the synagogues. It's not even made available for you. You can't have it at work. It's a holy book. That's what it's called, the holy what? Bible. You can't have it anyhow. So it is you now who now know what happened then. Let me give you a teaser. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Huh? Moses, right? How did Moses write the book of Genesis? Inspiration from God. Okay, so what is inspiration? Was it just one day? In the beginning. Let me get. Moses is a sharp man. By the Spirit, right? Sorry. What is messing up? Okay. By divine knowledge, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. How did he know? Inspired, right? Okay, inspired. You wrote all that. How Adam and Eve ate the fruits they ate. How that they tried to build a mountain to get to heaven. Am I right? He wrote all those things. How that Moses wrote about how he was born and how he was put inside the bush, inside the water, right? And Pharaoh's daughter. Moses wrote all that. You didn't see that Moses even wrote about how he died. I will continue. And how that two angels came to drag his body. Who will carry his body? So, bro, Moses, where were you? Why are you writing those things? Did you understand? That's what we call canonization of the scriptures. This Bible you have now was actually an agreement that this is what we'll bring out. Did you get that? And these are just normal stories that was told. There were questions. Moses happened to be the first person to lead a large number of people. And they were asking questions. Why didn't Abraham write about it? They asked so many questions. So many questions. Then he had to tell the story according to how he was inspired. See, I would have just preferred that prophets should do more of teaching of the Old Testament. But it is them who is giving the interpret signs. So when you begin to see them use symbols to say he ate a tree and all of that, see, when you read the Old Testament, balance it up with the New Testament. It is later when I discover that Jesus is actually the tree of life. There wasn't any eating anywhere. It was just a belief. And that was not the intention of salvation anyways. God has already known that man needed Christ. So all that was happening in the Old Testament was just a shadow of what will happen later when Jesus Christ comes himself. Alright? So in the midst, for the person that said there was a tree of life, but I just caught you now, he said there's also a tree of death. So who is the tree of life? Jesus. Am I communicating? So how come? I think I've done this kind of teaching before in church when I would talk about rumors. Then I brought some people out. Was it even here? Civic Center. I brought some people out and I asked them to close their eyes. Then I told one person something. I gave a sign. Was it here? Civic Center, okay. I gave somebody a sign. I said, communicate the sign to the next person. Say it to the other person. Can I have some people come? Here, come. All the people front here. Come. Everybody in the front. That will help us now. Just line up and face like this. Line up on a straight line. Yeah, give yourself gaps. No, straight. Face this way. Yeah. Come closer so you can touch the next person. Okay. Don't look back. Don't cheat. Yeah. And God's out. Say, how is God? How is that I have? Come back. Okay. So I'm going to tell you something now. I'm going to do something for you. So, Look at it. When she, see, she will touch you. She will touch you and tell you and do the thing she did for you. She did. You do it for the next person. Let's assume now. Let's see whether what she did will be what that last person would do. Going somewhere with that. Okay, hold on though. Just now, now, now. Just now, now, now. Okay? Next. Okay. Watch your... Okay. Okay. Okay, I come. All of you here, go. So these are the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Mama, come. I need you. Genesis and Revelation. Come. New Testament, Old Testament. You'll be shocked now to see what you told the person. Oh, yeah. Tell her what they told you. Did you tell the person? Are you not surprised? Oh, I can have a seat. You see, this illustration was just used to illustrate how the character of God was assassinated. This is a perfect illustration of how God's character has been assassinated. And guess what? The longer it takes, the more credible that becomes. And God help you that last person is an influential person who is loud-mouthed. The person will even say that Holy Ghost told me. I perceived strong in my spirit. And please, though, did she perceive? Yes. Because she received that. So are you getting help now? Who God explained himself to? I'm the God now, are you? Yes, now I'm God. I explained myself to her. She, out of sincerity, tried to communicate that to someone else. What is it? She didn't understand and they never came to ask. So that person picked it up and tried to convert to another person again. He was losing his nature. His nature. And if you leave them now to begin to explain what they mean by that, you will now hear a story that touches their hearts. I just did. What I even did was, well done. Don't talk. Because she might get that explanation. What's that business I did like this? You don't understand. I can't even explain it. Glory to God. But thank God. So they couldn't understand God. That's why the person of David was giving so many accounts of who God is. Oh, God give it. I mean, that was Job. God gives, God takes. Communicating because they were confused. They have so many natures of God in their hearts. They couldn't figure out which one he is until Jesus came in person. So it's so simple. Whatever you never saw Jesus did, God never did. And hear me, he had a chance to do, but he just couldn't. All right? And he did what God will do. In the place where he's supposed to kill, what did he do? He resurrected. So in him is life. That's not dead in him. Glory to God. show me one person God killed? Jesus killed? Huh? Can you show me one? Even the one that killed him, that sold him, did nothing. Peter denied him. He did nothing. The soldiers came to arrest him. He did nothing. He saw, even when he had the rights to, he did nothing. When Samuel told him, don't you wish to call down fire like Elias? He said, no. The Bible says, Jesus rebuked them and said, don't you know what manner of spirit that you have? So that means that, hear me, say, don't you know what manner of spirit that you have? That means that Elijah did not call fire from heaven with the same spirit that is in Jesus. Simple as that. Don't you know what manner of spirit that you have? So it is an abuse of your New Testament reality. We need to sing, God send that not Elijah to bring your fire down. I know song. Know song. Send the fire. Also, nobody knows. You guys are new babies in Christ. Now we go where we. Nobody knows that song yet. Do you hear the song? You don't know it. How do you sing it? Okay. Oh, you know. Oh, yeah. If you went to our church, you will know it. Any deeper person here? God send another Elijah to. It's a fervency song. Want to be the next Elijah. That's how the song ends. God send another Elijah to bring your fire down. Send the fire, also send the rain. I'm thinking about it. When the fire is burning, the rain now quench it. To heal the sick, raise the dead, and glorify your name. Lord, I want to be another Elijah here. Elijah here. God of Elijah, send the fire. That song is correct though. Because Elijah had to have his own God. Not our God will send down fire. Are you still here? In the Old Testament, people dealt with God. God didn't deal with them. That's a deep one. It means that you can decide to control your thing. That's why God was having different names. People were seeing God like a deity. My communicating. I went to somewhere in Anambra State, and the woman was talking. He said, every family have a God. She took me to their backyard and showed me their own God. I felt like kicking that nonsense pot away. And he goes there to pour oil on the God every morning. And they've been serving him for the past 50 something years. That is their own God. Say, people be having nonsense like that. You're saying those other things. Say, this is their own God. That everybody have their own God. I say, interesting. That was how, do you remember that the children of Israel got to a point that Moses had to tell them that if you have any God with you, bring it out. Am I right? So they had their small gods with them. Oh, Jesus Christ. When they raised a golden calf, it was not a new thing. The only new thing about it is that they came together as one. They were used to idolatry, so it's a normal thing. Now, little wonder the first commandment was that thou shalt not have any other God apart from me. Because it was something they are used to. You know, I've taught this something before. There won't be a commandment. I can't come in. I want to give 10 rules that will govern us. I'll not say don't park your helicopter anyhow. Do you have a helicopter? Is that our issue? I can't even say don't park your car anyhow. Or even say, don't pack your car there anyhow. Or even bash it. This is looking somewhere. So are we this? I won't say it because we don't have it. Like I said, don't plug your phone anyhow. Am I communicating now? It's the most common thing among you I'm going to use to what? To give instruction. So they have many idols with them. So they were serving God with the mindset of an idol. And because the idols they are used to does good and evil. So God also will also have the capacity to do good and evil in their eyes. Don't forget, Moses came to sell a God to them. It was Moses that came to sell the God to them. Hope you are aware. No wonder he asked you, he asked God that, he asked the angel that, what if they ask me, what is your name? That means the ghosts they had names. And because God doesn't want to be identified by any name yet, he said, I am. Say, I am. I'll tell them I am. Don't compare me with all just your gods. I'm incomparable. Am I teaching good this evening? You get what I'm saying at all? In their eyes. That is why most of the Old Testament folks, they will never call God by his name. They will say, God of my father, Jacob. God my father, Abraham. They refer God by referral. They call God by referral. But now, none of them call God by my father. Am I communicating? None of them had the boldness to say, he is my father. But now, I call you father, 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 father. We can call him Abba, father. So the veil has been torn. We have seen that he is not in that place they said he was. He now lives in us. Glory to God. You still here? Make sure you understand this to this level. You understand it to this level. Now, what I'm trying to do is a build up for you to understand God. If you don't understand God, you can't say God well. You will still be having this. Even what I'm saying, that some of you have not really gotten it very well, but it's okay. It's okay. As you begin to mature in Christ, it will begin to make more sense to you. You see, the question of God is so simple. This is how to know. When you check, if it's not equal to love, it can't be God. If it's not equal to love, if you put the two elements together and the equal to is not love, it can't be God. What does he show? Listen, guys. So God had in the heart of Pharaoh and allowed what? Whose heart did he had in? Pharaoh's heart. So why would the thousands of soldiers pay for the hardness of Pharaoh's heart? Do you know the kind of the agony it is that you died by water choking you? Some of you can even put your head inside water bucket for 1 minute. Am I communicating? Have you ever been maybe playing water and it entered your nose? It touches the brain. That's the way the CIA folks say. You don't have to cut anybody to let me say the truth. They wet you first. Oh, this is psychological. I was watching one CIA movie one time and that. They wet you so that you will feel that it is your whole body that is inside that water. Have you seen that movie before? They will wet the criminal first. They will not dip your head inside the water. You can't. You will say the truth. You say the one that you did and the one you not do. So God now, Moses now got to the river, to the ocean. Hope it's an ocean. And struck his word there. The ocean divided. So Israel passed. They passed. This thing very carefully. God now told him, oh yeah, hit it back. Now hit back. When they were already in the center. Alright? Hit it back. When he hit it back, God now caused the sea to kill them. Now, me and you knows that every one of us here, we are trying to do the same thing. Thief is pursuing you at night. There's one barrier that is black, but it's only you that know that thing is there. When you just run and pass the stuff, you know where it is. Me and you knows that you will bring the thing down. So that the enemy will collide with it. I'm not trying to defend. I'm not. You see, if you try to defend God, you cannot defend him. He didn't send us to do so. Am I communicating? But just be sincere for yourself. It just doesn't make sense that a God. Listen, I told you something now. In any story that in this God in the Old Testament, there is still a savior in that same story, right? So God is on who was here, caused them to enter, caused them to escape. Now enter heaven. Hey, by where do you know? So I told you, I love this for mom. Listen, if there's a God like that, that God is one that needs salvation. We should be saving him, not him saving us. How about that? if there's ever a such a God, then we should be saving him, not him saving us. Because he needs help. He's a killer. A disgusted one for that matter. How does he appeal to you that he killed every firstborn? You wiped away, you caused tears in the heart of every family in the land of Egypt. What do you benefit in that? What a saddest God you are. And this is one of the reasons why other religions arose. Because we did not understand our own God from the beginning. Yes. We didn't understand it from the beginning. There were a lot of people, confusion, community. Till now, nobody can boldly say who Cain got married to. Yes. Who they can get married to? Of course, the Bible says that Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, had how many children? Cain and what? Abel. And of course, later, Cain killed Abel, right? Like Abel, the Bible says he ran to a land called Nod. There he found himself a wife. That become confusing now. Went to a land of Nod where he found himself a wife. So what is going on here? I don't understand that now. Found himself a wife. So Moses, maybe he didn't tell you the other factors in this place we don't know about. People have said some. People have tried to persuade that, Adam lived so many years, he must have other children, he must have, given birth to other children, that give other children, the Nephilim and all those things like that. Some people say, go married to an angel, persuasion comes in. Beautiful. You see, the river does not actually have much to do in the Old Testament. But whatever happened there was redone in the New Testament. In the clean eyes. You see. And we are born again. No more born of Adam. We are born of the incorruptible seed. Am I making sense? Now we see Jesus. When I tell you all we see Jesus, we actually mean that irrespective of what is going on around us, irrespective of what the Bible have said concerning this man, all we see is what? Jesus. It is only in Christianity we see atheists. Most of the people who say they are atheists, they are only atheists against Christianity. They have other gods they worship. Some of them are humanists. That is a form of worship. They worship their own self. Example is Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook. He's not a Muslim, he's not a Christian, he's not a Hindu. He's a humanist. To himself, he feels like, I am a God by myself. Don't be tempted to do that. That's the greatest form of foolishness. Don't stop using Facebook. It has nothing to do with your faith. You see here. You get one or two things? Nature of God is one. God is not the lion and the lamb. Maybe I should say this. I've said it so many times. That it is written in the Bible does not mean that God has said it. I just told you something, that the Bible is actually an inspired book. Inspired book. The same way someone writes music. God inspired to write the music, to drop a tune, and he drops a tune. If you ask Davido, where did if you ask the guy that song Thunder Fire You, we ask him where did he get inspiration? He said, oh God. God inspired to sing Thunder Fire You. That was not enough. And I said, and your friend? I was singing that to Tofumi. I say, I'm faith specific. That's a joke anyway. Are you here? Inspiration. Some of you have so many questions in your heart now. so many bugging your heart now. A 2-pound brain cannot even contain God. That's the thing. Why come? You trying to sit down here now to unravel God with your head is, and you cannot. That is what makes him God. Right? You can't. Men have tried, they were mad. You can't. The more you try, the more you find out that you can't. Glory be to God. The classic example of what I'm just teaching you now is that you're gonna, in the next 10 years maximum from now, most of you are going to be mommies and daddies. You're going to raise kids. You will not see how you're responsible for a man's life, at least for the first 20 years of their life. You can decide whether that boy will be useless in life or not. Do you know that if you refuse to give your son a formal education, he's 50% poor already? Are you aware of that? So there's some kids I see, this is my area, I just say, oh God, these kids didn't bargain for this in life. That's why you have a compassionate heart. Didn't bargain for this. See them, they can't speak English. One was 14 years old, he didn't hear. So this guy, when he gets to 20, he will either become a bike man. Am I communicating? Did he bargain for that in life? He didn't bargain for that. Anybody who is here, yeah, you're actually a privileged person. So stop thinking that you're a poor person. You're privileged. You had access to basic education. But that whatever life is dealing with you now, never get defeated. Never feel so. There are people who just dreamt that they could go to university. Some even pray they went to university, and even if it means they do not graduate, it's okay. So what informed you the way you are now is the information your parents had. So what informed the believers before we go to this level now is the information they had about God. The good note is that it is changing. Men are beginning to understand that God is Jesus. That has been the cause. I shared one story of my status some weeks ago. Pastor Ebe Damina said, in 2013 or 14, that he made the gospel. He has pastored for over 35 years. He said there's nothing he has. I don't know if you saw that video. That church video. There's nothing he has not done with church and God. See, is he healing? He has raised the dead. He has poured down miracle money. He has done this and done that. Prosperity. There's nothing he has not done with God. What is sudden became empty. Empty does not mean that he doesn't know what to do again. But he just knows that there's something wrong somewhere. And then, tell you, if we do not understand eternal salvation as a pastor, you can never have the joy of pastoring. It's as simple as that. Say he became empty. He became so empty. We're asking, what is wrong? Everything I've been teaching doesn't make sense. Then he got the book of Kajun Kuma and he just read about 5 chapters and his eyes opened on how Jesus is God. Because if you do not understand it, you will still be praying for your enemies to die. Because why? Elijah did the same. Am I communicating? He said he just saw it. And his eyes tore open. And he brought the same message to Bishop, what's his name again? Michael Kunkwo, one of the biggest pastors in Lagos. Bishop Michael Kunkwo, 70 years old man. Said, my is that why is it now that I'm understanding the gospel? 70 years old man. Say, why is it now? These are men who have churches in nations. I think I was in a conference with Bishop Marco Kongo. I think he came to church and he was just crying all through for like 1 hour. Maybe that was why that message actually got to me very well. He was shedding tears. Say, for years we've been building system that is not on the strong foundation of Christ. say my pain now is that some people who are raised in this doctrine, who will never submit to this in a prison now, he raised them. He said, oh, look at this one. He said, oh, this one, they've changed your brain now. What did this old man do? He went in his youth, was preaching, if you do good, kingdom. If you do bad, no more kingdom. It's not a matter of things. How demon will penetrate you and go to your father's house. And now listen, I'm not in any way saying that demon cannot do anything. But whatever being emphasized in a church, take preeminence in that church. Do you hear me? If you doubt it now, let's give us 3 Sundays. Whether or not we need to see people, I will ask somebody you know in this church. What's your name? Let's say, hey, I'm Legion. Your friend. I teach demon messages. Your friend that is still open mouth and say, I am a lion. I will eat you. I will consume you. That's emphasizing the church. Take preeminence. You get what I'm teaching now? You get what I'm saying now? Glory to God. I run through it quickly. Okay. Any more question? I'm not going to this. Any more question? It's not basically. I just want your deep point. You don't have a question to ask? You want to ask? Ask. Don't feel like you've asked too much. Ask too much. One more. Ask question. Yeah. I want to you ask. Ask. I want to you. Ask. I will answer you. I'll show you my salvation. All right. Want to have a question? Ask it. Feel free. Any first time I hear? Any first time? First time I hear? Oh, welcome. Hope you're not confused. You're not confused. Who invited you? Praise. Correct me, yeah? Hope you're not confused at all. You should be scared for first time when I'm saying things like this. Ask question now. Have you believed that our God does no evil? I don't want you to say yes because I said it. Just doesn't, first of all, it just doesn't make a sense. Yanu, do you not believe that God doesn't send anybody to hellfire? Are you sure? The last scenario, so I'll close now. Imagine this house is about to catch fire. Okay? Okay, sorry, let me even go to it. See, Noah said that God wants to destroy the earth with water, right? Am I right? Prior to this time, there wasn't any rain. Yeah, where? It has never rained on the surface of the earth. Now, scientifically proven by scientists, it just has to rain. It just has to rain. We now understood by science that if there's water on land, something called transpiration will happen, right? And when the crowd could not hold the water again, what will happen? It come down, right? Now, I'm just teaching science now. In the desert, where there are no much living things, might communicating, rain would take so much time to fall. Why? Because there's no water on the ground that will cause what? Transpiration to happen. A scientist by the name Vicus now said that the earth surface then, now that rain is falling in Oye, did you notice sometimes rain will fall at Ibodu, not falling in Oye? Alright. Now, for the cloud to have formed to the place of that, be able to condense and transpire to condense, there has to be a saturation that must happen. That is why in the outer spaces, rain is not falling there. Yet, I'm just trying to say some certain things now. So it took so much years before that science reaction could happen. And a merciful God, this is my welcoming now, a merciful God had to relay the message to somebody, not just saying that rain will fall, Because the crowd has gathered enough water up there. Rain will fall. And this thing, the way out will be an ark. The way out will be an ark. So if God eventually sent rain to come and destroy people, which I see no reason in, if God ever destroyed people, why has he not destroyed us now? What sin did they commit that we have not done 21 times? Now. Answer now. Am I communicating? You look as if I'm defending God, if I just like speak. I'm with you guys, so like, I'm here. They be saying this like this, so we understand. Like, does it even make a sense that, this is looking weird. Does it make a sense that our God will not decide to destroy us with water? So, what is now the point of making an ark? Did you notice that he didn't even say that? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Did you notice that he didn't even say that if you are with the grading system was not about sin? Did you get that? The grading system was not about sin. It was about, do you believe? Just believe and enter. So God just, Kukuma used that opportunity to just teach us salvation. Salvation. This is what I'm going to do. I'll provide the ark in the name of Jesus. If you just believe, you are covered. That God did us in the ultimate. Just come and go become another region. Just form another thing. It doesn't just make a sense. So God doesn't kill. Say God doesn't kill. Why you must understand this is that because it informs your understanding of every other scriptures. It will interfere with it. It will disturb it. Just like the scripture read, Romans chapter 6 verse 23, say for the wages of what? Is dead, right? But the gift of God is eternal life. I said before we started, what we used to think is that the wages of those who sin, the wages of God to those who sin, Abi, we thought it is God who will give that death. No, he isn't God. He's not God. But death came through. God did not bring death. Hallelujah. You blessed today? You blessed today? So that's the idea. Glory to God. It's been a fee. You're clapping because he learned, or you're clapping because we finished on time. You know why you're clapping? This is actually for a reason. Anyway.